Sadly, America is not the first and probably won't be the last nation to use the form of torture we call waterboarding. The world's one-man history desk, Chris Wolfe, has been digging into this. So, Chris, last year I read the novel People of the Book by writer Geraldine Brooks, and part of it is set in a torture chamber around the Spanish Inquisition. It's a horrendous scene, and the use of the word waterboarding obviously is not used in the dialogue, but it's clear that what they're doing is waterboarding. Who invented waterboarding? How far back does it go?
Simulated drowning, really, is what it is. It goes back as far as time itself, but the first documented cases were, yes, from the Inquisition, and particularly the Spanish Inquisition, and was considered, you know, particularly horrendous even then. The Dutch used it on some English interlopers who were trying to muscle in on their trade in the East Indies like 400 years ago, and the water torture that was inflicted on them was widely publicized in England as a mark of the barbarity to which, you know, people could stoop.
And more recently, like World War II, was it used then?
Well, John McCain has reminded us recently that the United States hanged several Japanese officers for carrying out water torture on prisoners of war. One example was one of the guys who conducted the first bombing raid, the Doolittle Raid on Japan, a guy called Chase Nielsen. He was waterboarded by the Japanese and managed to survive. It was used by the Gestapo as well, and then very widely used by Pol Pot in Cambodia in the 1970s.
Our context for waterboarding is in the context of torture to get information from somebody, and then presumably they're detained or they're let go, but they're not killed. In the process of waterboarding over the centuries, has it also been used to extract information, or was it just, we just want to hurt this person?
No, I mean, it's primarily used to extract confessions, usually. I mean, that's the thing with the Spanish Inquisition, to try and get people to confess to their sins or their heresy, and then, you know, to force confessions under Pol Pot or the Gestapo.
So as far as the U.S. is concerned, I feel like we've only heard about waterboarding since 9/11. But in the 20th century, was it used by the U.S.?
Well, unfortunately, yes. It was very well documented in the fight against the Philippine insurgency from about 1900 onwards by U.S. troops. In fact, we have a picture on our website. But it wasn't a policy condoned at a high level. When Teddy Roosevelt found out about it, he was furious. He had one officer at least court-martialed for it, and another general was thrown out of the army for condoning the practice. But in a sense, what they were really doing was just a kind of an extension of law enforcement practices back home.
What do you mean law enforcement back home? Was like local police departments using waterboarding?
I'm afraid yes. I was kind of stunned to learn this myself. It was used pretty extensively here by cops as part of their arsenal of tools for giving suspects the third degree to force them to sign confessions.
What's the evidence of that? I mean, any particular police departments that we know of?
Well, actually, Herbert Hoover appointed a commission of inquiry into figure out why prohibition was failing. And it became this comprehensive review of law enforcement practices. It was run by a former attorney general, George Wickersham, so it became known as the Wickersham Commission. And one of his reports was the report on lawlessness in law enforcement. I got to read you a quote from a scholar who's documented this pretty extensively, and you can look at the report online as well. The water cure consisted of holding a suspect's head in water until he almost drowned, or thrusting a water hose into his mouth, or forcing a suspect to lay on his back, if not already strapped to a cot or a slab, while pouring water into his nostrils, sometimes from a dipper, until he was nearly strangled. And it actually became quite popular after 1910, which was the year that U.S. courts started throwing out confessions that had obviously been forced because, you know, the guys are there covered in bruises and broken teeth. And, you know, you think of those film noir scenes and things like Sin City, of those like violent forced interrogations. The water cure, as it was called, left no bruises.
You know, you tell me this history that goes back so far. It's hard to imagine waterboarding not being used again by the United States or any other country.
It's hard to imagine. Yeah, it's abhorrent. Like after the Wickersham Commission came out, police forces across the country had to try and get that kind of thing under control. So, you know, hopefully with public knowledge comes a level of restraint, you can hope.
The world's history guy, Chris Wolfe, always fascinating to get your take on this stuff. Thank you.
You're welcome, Marco.